In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands firm forever. It never changes, never becomes out of date or old-fashioned. It never is useless. It always is practical and relevant to our lives. That word was Lazarus' life. Moses and the prophets, that is the word of God, Moses and the prophets comforted his decrepit body with the hope of a resurrection of the body. So he did not think that his miserable state somehow earned God's favor. He did not think that his suffering paid for past sins. Rather, he believed Moses and the prophets when they said the suffering servant would be pierced for his transgressions and crushed for his iniquities. He was the one who would be pierced so that Lazarus might be healed. The punishment would be on that Savior so that Lazarus might be carried to Abraham's side. The word led Lazarus to a cross, a gruesome bloodied cross, or rather I should say a gruesome bloodied man suspended from that cross. It's ugly. It's offensive. It's full of gore. It humbled Lazarus far more than hunger, poverty, sores, or dogs ever could. That cross revealed his true nature. Not only was he poor outwardly, but he was poor in spirit. He despised his life, not because of the sad condition of his outward life, but for Christ's sake. He despised his covetous flesh that wanted crumbs that God had not given to him. He hated his sinful mind that thought that somehow God was being unfair, that he should have this life. He desired contentment with the blessings of God. Contentment, for the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He found his life and his joy and his happiness in Moses and the prophets. There were his riches. There was balm for every ill and his bread from heaven. So the difference between Lazarus and the rich man is not found in their wallets or even in their life experience. Neither is it found in what they did. The difference is found in their heart. Would it have helped the rich man to feed Lazarus? That is, would he stand next to Abraham in heaven if he took care of Lazarus? Conversely, would Lazarus be sent to hell if the rich man had given him some of his wealth? So again, the difference is not found in the outward life, but in the heart. Lazarus believed Moses and the prophets while the rich man refused to believe. He was not poor in spirit. His heart was puffed up and filled with pride that no works of mercy or love could ever take away. He was proud and arrogant. He saw no need for the cross. A savior seemed unnecessary because life was good, everything was under his control, things had gone according to plan. So what did he need to be saved from? The rich man did not believe Moses and the prophets when they said, all men are like grass and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. And so there he sat in hell, in the midst of torment, looking up into heaven at Abraham and Lazarus standing by his side. And yet even in hell, he still is not humble. He's still proud and arrogant. The damned never repent. They never admit their guilt. They never say sorry. They still are arrogant and full of pride. They think God has been mean and harsh to them for sending them to such a horrible place. They curse God day and night and blame God for their suffering. They did nothing wrong. They tried their best. They loved God and served their neighbor. But their hearts were filled with pride. And so in hell, they received the fruit of their labor. In life and in death, They were never poor in spirit. They were never beggars before God. They never saw their true fallen condition. Just so we can be clear, Jesus never says, "Blessed are the poor." Many people live in poverty and yet have no other desire than to gain more material wealth for themselves. So Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Those who recognize their condition rightly, those who see themselves as nothing more than grass and their glory like the flowers of the field, those who see themselves covered with sinful sores, lying at the gate of heaven, unable to enter heaven because of their poor and lowly condition. A great chasm has been fixed, so set your life in order. A great chasm has been fixed between heaven and hell, and you cannot cross over from one place to another. You cannot come back to this earth to warn your family and friends or encourage them in the faith. And you do not know when the Lord's breath will turn you back into dust. So the time is now, the urgency is today. We are here today, gone tomorrow. One moment we flourish, the next we quickly fade away. We are loved, only to be forgotten in a generation or two. One moment we flourish with energy, strength, and wisdom. We raise families, increase our wealth, we further businesses. The next moment we're laid in the earth, only to be used as a sewer by the birds of the air and trampled on by the beasts of the field. The only thing that can save you is Moses and the prophets, that is, the word of God. That word was Lazarus' life, and that word is our life as well. That word leads us straight to that gruesome, bloodied man hanging from a cross. And there at the foot of the cross, everything we thought was great about ourselves is gone. Every reason we give that God should love us or help us or give us somewhat of a break in this life is gone. For Moses and the prophets lead us to Golgotha, and Golgotha exposes our prideful, sin-filled hearts. He is pierced because we have daydreamed about having more, more wealth, more prosperity, all the while forgetting that God has let us live in the most rich country the world has ever known. He is crushed because we have judged others and ourselves based on their front yard, social media posts, or travel experiences. And he is bruised and punished because we have found far more joy and satisfaction in someone clicking like rather than in the word of God. Jealousy, envy, and anger are not foreign to us. And yet it's not us who bears that punishment, it's him. It's the one who hangs on the tree. Our suffering in this life cannot pay for our sins. Undergoing a terrible life or some great calamity and catastrophe does not earn God's favor. But Jesus' suffering has earned God's favor. He made himself the poorest of all men, though he had the riches of heaven. He didn't even have a place on which to lay his head. And not only was he poor outwardly, but he was poor in spirit. By trials and tribulations, thorns and nails, he learned a far greater suffering than Lazarus could have ever known. He endured the searing torments of hell as he was forsaken by his Father on the cross. And yet he remained faithful. And so Jesus Christ is the one who has crossed over that great chasm between hell and heaven. And by crossing over, he has taken away your every sin. He extinguished hell's fire on the cross, and now ascended into heaven, he lives to dump the riches of heaven into your lap. So the only thing that can save is that word from Christ, Moses, and the prophets. If we fail to believe them, then no works of mercy or deeds of love, no kindness or generosity on our part can satisfy God. Not even earthly suffering can satisfy God. So the difference is in the heart. The rich in heart will always direct their attention away from that cross to themselves. Whether it be their prosperity, their kindness, their generosity, their experiences, they always direct the attention to themselves. Everything is under control. Life is good. They see no need for a savior. What do they need to be saved from? And yet the poor in spirit will always focus on that cross. For they listen to Moses and the prophets, the word of God, even if everything in life is under control. They still believe the word of God. For that word always leads them to Calvary's holy hill. So listen to Moses and the prophets, as well as the apostles and the evangelists. They teach you of Christ. The word stands firm forever, even as our glory and our beauty fades faster than the flowers on the altar. Moses and the prophets give you a Savior, Jesus Christ, who does not change. The word made flesh, standing certain and sure forever, so that you might be certain and sure of the salvation he has won for you. He is still your Savior who speaks you righteous. Immortality endlessly streams to you through his word. Eternity is yours, because the eternal word also shares your flesh and blood forever. And because the word made flesh endures forever, so shall you endure forever. So Jesus is in fact right when he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who recognize their sinful condition, are beggars with nothing to give to God, everything to receive from God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.